Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I might grab the pliers and just rip out myself. It's VGC, the video game podcast with me, Jordan Midler, and friends, and Chris Scullion and friends. This week, Chris returns to the tennis green, and we have a reason to talk about the WWE. But first, how's it going, Chris? How are you?
I've had a week. I've had a week and a half. Obviously, I was prepped and pumped for buying tickets for WWE Clash at the Castle. Mm-hmm. Scotland's first ever pay-per-view. I refuse to call them PLEs.
A premium because, live event?
No. The pay-per-view.
Yeah.
As far as I'm aware, you can still pay for it on a box office to view it. So it's a PPV. Mm-hmm. And then finally got on and the tickets were like, cost more than a small house. And like, well, you can absolutely chase yourself if you think I'm paying upwards of £350 to £400 for a seat right at the back of the nosebleeds.
Yeah.
There's not a chance in hell.
So let's walk through this. It was about £400 for the combo packages that they still mm-hmm. had, which is Friday Night SmackDown and Clash at the Castle.
Yeah.
It's obviously the £400 is like a pure gut punch. I would, for both of those shows, I would have been in the area to drop like £100 each, because that's kind of what big gigs are these days. Like, I would have been okay with that.
For the cheap seats. Like, I wasn't expecting to be sitting ringside.
sitting on Pat McAfee's knee for that kind of money.
With a big giant like sign saying, like, bring back Coco Beware. Like, I would happily be sitting quite a distance away, like I've done in the past at these events. But for the very back tier, like, of the Hydro, they were asking for, around about £400, which is scandalous. And apparently there's a tier which is like 180 or something, and those tickets didn't appear, and they may appear during general sale tomorrow, but I dread to think what the view is going to be like.
It's there, in the
really.
Clyde.
Exactly. It's from Gorilla. But yeah, so I don't know, I've just kind of resigned myself to the fact that I'm going to be sitting watching at my brother's house eating pizza with my nephew. That'll probably do.
It's a ludicrous situation because not only, okay, they're not doing Murrayfield. It's the night of the first Scotland game. That's a legitimate excuse. However, Celtic Park holds 60,000. It could easily do a wrestling show. Castle Grayskull holds less than that. It could do a wrestling show. Like, it did the Harry Styles show. Like, it's not as if it's not held big events or whatever.
Yeah.
14,000? Like, didn't they fill the show in Cardiff for like 60,000?
It's unbelievable that they even thought for a second, yeah, let's do the Hydro. Like, no. What are you mental?
Maybe you do the Hydro for SmackDown and then you do Clash at the Castle at like Celtic Park, but
Glasgow, the city that famously has no castles in Scotland. It's like, come on.
Glasgow, famously a city that was so rowdy that they had to edit Monday Night Raw because we wouldn't stop chanting. Did they not think that
the Bailey song went on for like 20 minutes? like, Stirling's got a castle. Like, just put it in the middle of, I don't know. Doing Bannockburn.
Yeah.
Erect a statue there. Do it at Edinburgh Castle.
What, like they do the tattoo? Like,
exactly.
That would be an amazing set for a wrestling show. But no. I mean, even fewer tickets. No.
But even then, you would accept £500 a ticket for something like that. You go, okay, that's novelty. Like I'm not going to go still, but I appreciate those who do.
Because do an NXT show there, because one of those boys would jump off the castle. They would do something like that. If Darby Allin was in the WWE, he would jump off the top of the castle.
Sit on a cannonball and get fired off the 1 o'clock gun. But yeah, so that was annoying. And then last night, I was driving to Asda, as I frequently do, and got a notification on my car that the tyre pressure was right down to like 0.2 bar or whatever.
That's not what you're after. That's less a tire, more of a sack around exactly, like a metal spoke.
And I was like, well, that's a tad low.
As you veer off over the dual carriageway.
So I backed away from the wall I'd crashed into and looked back left tire, big giant screw right in it. I'm like, oh, yeah. Said words that probably aren't fit for this podcast. Well, probably are. Got it home. Guy came out about 10 o'clock last night and says, we're probably going to have to take this to Quick Fit, mate, but I want to try something first. And this guy was so stubborn, like, hey, guy, because he told, informed me that, I says, can you not just get somebody out tomorrow to look at it if you're struggling with it? He had a wee gun that puts a seal back in the tire. He took the screw out and the thing goes, and puts like a seal back into it. And they couldn't get this gun working. So it's never failed me before. I'm like, well, it's failing you now, mate. It's kind of half 10 at this point. He says, I says, can you not just leave it and somebody else can come out tomorrow with a working gun? He's like, no, mate, the thing with AA is I need to come out and fix this, otherwise it's my failing and I'll get my arse felt. And so I need to be able to fix it. I need to leave with you satisfied it's been fixed. Oh, mate, I don't care. like 11:30, he finally decides, okay, we better go to Quick Fit. Swaps the tire out with one of his fake ones, you know, the wee really thin one that like you could put on a Lego car. Drove to Quick Fit, jumped in his car and drove back. So, but he didn't get finished till like 12:30. It was like two and a bit hours. And then I had to go to Quick Fit this morning, get the bus down to say, just in case you're wondering why my car's just sitting in your car park, it's mine. Go to fix it. And it's now, that was half eight. It's now 2:45. And I've only just had a notification saying on my car saying the door has been opened. You know, my car's got like this annoying wee app, which if you left the door open, it tells you. And I've just so Quick is doing a lot of heavy lifting. In the
you're like those people on that old airline program that would go EasyJet, made like HardJet. You know, make exactly. It easy. Meanwhile, they turned up 4 hours late for a flight to Barcelona that's already in Barcelona.
Quick Fit, do me a favour, more like Slow Fit.
Yeah,
right. And then, so there's a very real possibility that my phone will ring while we're doing this, and then I'll put on my phone voice and go, oh, "Hello, was it ready?
Get them on the fucking pod. See what they have to say."
Big Stevie Quick Fit. So that's been my week. How about you?
Hell of a week. I was in London on Monday so this was my entire trip to London. Landed in London as one does. Got the train to the US embassy because I'm running for president. No, because I was applying for a visa, which I was granted. However, this is the process. You book it in advance, then you go to the embassy half an hour before your appointment, then you're scanned in like airport security. They don't let you take laptops in. I didn't have one. I had my Steam Deck with me though, and the guy goes, have you showed someone your Nintendo Switch? And I had to stop myself going, it's actually a Steam Deck. And I was like, yeah, I did, mate. I was like, John, you just got yourself shot at the US embassy. You go through, and then the first person scans a form that you've already filled out and just goes, yep, that's that scanned. Another 2-hour queue to get your fingerprints taken. Another 3-hour queue for the interview, and the interview was essentially questions I'd already filled out on the form. So I was like, I'm going absolutely doolally here. I'm losing my mind in this building.
That's poor.
But it all worked out in the end, and then I just immediately came home. I went from the embassy back to London Luton on the plane up the road, but it's not been a tremendously exciting week.
That's not ideal.
No.
Chris,
from WWE, first story, quote, there was no warning 2K faces community backlash after banning a leading 2K24 content creator. This is what's the status. If you're not aware, WWE 2K24 and the last decade of games or so have allowed players to upload their community creations so other people can download them. Typically, this is custom superstars, custom signs and arenas, basically ways to update your game and keep it fresh because the WWE product always changes. Or if you want to totally change your game, have it full of AEW or New Japan people, people make amazing versions of them and upload them. However, this man is known because every year he takes the PC version of the game, gets in amongst all the files, finds things like characters from the story mode that aren't available, the commentators, the ring announcers, and some other unused content and uploads that to Community Creations for people to download. Now, this has been going on for a long time. He has been, he's had his palm wrapped before over it, over certain things. He claims that he'd cleared certain things with 2K in the past. However, this week he was indefinitely suspended, as 2K put it to us when we got the quote about it. And the community is not happy, Chris.
No, and it's like, this is a strange one because obviously I can understand why the community is not happy, but I can also in a certain way understand why 2K have been nervous about this guy. Because some of the stuff, it's hacking into the files essentially, so it's not that I agree with it, but obviously 2K sometimes locks some characters away and it's my faction mode, and what's the status is basically taking those skins and then just making them available in other modes and saying, look, you don't have to bother spending crazy money on cards to unlock these people. Here you go, fill your boots. So I can understand them getting a bit annoyed at that. And obviously he's started uploading the female wrestlers as kind of male characters so that you can fight intergender matches, which I think WWE's always been a bit iffy and sensitive about. But at the same time, if it's Community Creations, it's not like it's properly moderated anyway.
Properly moderated.
The thing is full of Chris Benoit's, for a start, and full of like dodgy images and the like sign creator and image creator and stuff. So it's not like this guy's the only one who's putting up, and it's not even questionable content. It's just content that 2K and WWE would rather not let players do for their own like benefits. I could see their point of view from a business standpoint, but from the optics, it's really not good, and the guy should probably just be allowed to go on with it.
I imagine that 2K will maybe bend the knee on this with some provisions. I think that them taking down the intergender stuff is fine, mainly because they are a licensee of WWE, and that is against the brand guidelines. Mm-hmm. That's not like it's not like, oh, they're going woke. That's not up to them. That's nothing to do with them.
Yeah.
stuff like, so right at the start, he found a version of Roman Reigns that has like a man bun, which is a hairstyle that Reigns has had like throughout the whole like bloodline thing. And he uploaded that. It got downloaded thousands of times. I downloaded it. It was pretty cool. 2K released a patch to basically damage that content so no one could download it. However, you can still download Vince McMahon. You can still download Brock Lesnar, and not custom versions, the versions that were in the game before they were removed. Those are still
in the game, still are in showcase mode.
Yeah, so it's weird the stuff that they kind of pick and choose. I can understand stuff like, so commentators, meh, because commentators have been in the game as Cody Graves was a wrestler, Michael Cole has been in the game, Pat McAfee, as we have talked about at length, is going to be
Pat McAfee and Friends.
But people like Samantha Irving, okay, if you want to remove the people that aren't licensed to be included in the game as playable characters, whatever, this is just it's a bad look, especially when the WWE 2K24 community is pretty pissed off at the minute with other things, like with in-game glitches, with some of the stuff in my faction. Like, these guys, these good boys that keep the game updated, that are rapid, like, ridiculous. I'll be watching a pay-per-view and someone will wrestle at the start of the pay-per-view, and by the main event, someone will have uploaded that attire already. Like, it's unbelievable how good these guys are. You don't want to make an enemy of them. Like, It's very, very strange. Like, we spoke to the guy who just wants to be referred to as Status, doesn't want to like give his name, whatever. And he was like pissed off, but he was like, oh, I mean, I still love the game. Like, I love this game. I love the community and stuff like that. It's like, don't turn into the EAFC community who like vehemently hates EA. Yeah. Like, do you think we get some kind of resolution to this where he's allowed back and he can upload some stuff, but there's provisions to it?
No, I just think he'll be replaced by somebody else who'll do it on a kind of a lower profile and it'll just continue, because I'm pretty sure that What's the Status isn't the only person in the world who can get into WWE's files. It's almost going to have one of those kind of Streisand effects, because as much as it, as great as the stuff was, and as much as it was getting downloaded more than anyone else, you got to imagine that 90% of the, if not 95% of the WWE 2K fan base weren't downloading community creations anyway, probably. It's a niche kind of thing in that game. Most people are happy enough with the stock wrestlers that are there and playing through universe mode and stuff like that. So by bringing more attention to it, they're almost kind of shining a light on something that could have been just kept quite quiet. So I think more people now will go, oh, well, if that's the case, then I'll do it. I'll teach them. I'll replace this guy and blah, blah, blah. So I think I don't see him being allowed back, or if he does, like you say, in a really kind of hamstrung version where he can only release like content that isn't in the game already. Otherwise,
he did kind of, there was a some of the stuff he uploaded would be collaborations with other creators. So, So he found that the game still had voice lines for Sting, who is an AEW, well, formerly an AEW talent, not in the game essentially, but you could still get like the wow and all that kind of stuff. Like all that stuff was in it. So he was attaching those to really good custom characters that other people had made. Same with Edge, who is now Adam Copeland in AEW. I can see that kind of stuff airing on the side of, oh, you're kind of showing up that we didn't actually clear out all these files that we probably should have.
I mean, that's on them. As it's airing their dirty laundry, but it's like this goes all the way back to like when one of the really early SmackDown games still had the Big Show in the files and he wasn't like in the game. It's like that's just how games work. But especially when you've got like an annual game, the like files are left over. They should arguably figure out what's going on and maybe change their game next year so that this can't happen. Like, how is it possible that you can just apply these files to a created wrestler and suddenly the game goes, yep, okay, you can use that. Like that to me is more of an issue that there's sloppy kind of behind the scenes work here that's making these files accessible without a mod on console. If the guy can do it on PC, how is it possible that the Xbox version can just take those assets just because he's put them together? And you can gain access to them without issue. That to me should be their concern. Like if they could close the back door so it doesn't make it possible again, then that's the issue solved.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm monitoring this. Apparently WWE Games refollowed him on Twitter, so who can say? He keeps replying to WWE Games tweets and getting well more likes than they are, so we will monitor this it goes on. Chris, I've got great news for you.
Oh, good. I could do with some.
The Embracer Group is splitting into three companies.
Three? What, three times three. More Embracer?
Three times more Embracer.
Brilliant.
Three times more
I love Embracer. Them enough as it is. Having three of them is just going to be great.
I'd like to introduce you to Asmodee, Coffee Stain and Friends, and Middle Earth Enterprise and Friends. Would you like to hear about, which of those three would you like to hear about first?
Oh, mate, I'm desperate to hear who Middle Earth Enterprise's friends are.
So, Middle Earth Enterprise and Friends, well, sorry, let me just create powerhouse.
I appreciate it's catching in your throat.
In AAA game development and publishing for PC and console. This will be Lord of the Rings and Tomb Raider and Dead Island and Metro and Kingdom Come Deliverance. Are you excited? Are you buzzing?
I'm trying to be. That's a weird title name to give a company that has two big IPs.
It's a weird name to give a company who only one-fifth of the big IPs is Middle-Earth adjacent.
It's just like, Middle-Earth, I get Middle-Earth Enterprises was the one they spent a lot of money on.
Yeah.
But like, that's a big slap in the face to the Tomb Raider IP.
I know.
That it's relegated to friend
in the same year that Lara Croft is voted the most iconic gaming character of all time.
was that one of these shitey PR emails?
No, that was from BAFTA.
Oh, BAFTA, sorry. So, yeah. Uh, behind. Yeah. For people who don't know, we regularly get, we were moaning about this earlier in the week, we regularly get PR emails. And it's not even from like video game PRs, it's just from people who are doing PR work for like gambling companies. It's usually betting companies and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, but like betgammon.com releases. Yeah.
And they go, oh, here's how we can get our site's name out there. Why don't we appeal to the gamers? People love games, don't they? The gamers are cool. So they'll get some poor PR sod to do like research on a topic they have no clue about. So they'll do like a feature on video games, some sort of list feature, and then email it to us and say, do you want to use this on the site? If you do, please make sure to credit fucking gamblingdicks.com because they came up with it. They came up with this info. And the one this week was, the most searched video game starring celebrities. Was that it?
Yeah, it was.
And instantly you look at it and go, well, this is wrong, because there's not, but like Fortnite was 10th,
yeah,
and 4th was Playboy the Mansion, and there's no way way people are searching Playboy the Mansion the game more than they're searching Fortnite, one of the biggest games, like the most popular games right now. But you could tell just by the writing that this is someone who doesn't actually know anything about games, because like number 3 or number 2 was Death Stranding starring Conan O'Brien, who appears in it for like 3 seconds, and they've just decided, well, that counts.
Yeah.
And it's infuriating and it's insulting to get these.
Death Stranding not starring Norman Reedus?
No, Conan O'Brien. I think it takes top billing. And it's so infuriating and offensive almost that they think these guys who are specialist press who specifically write about video games for a living, I'm going to rock up having no knowledge of the subject whatsoever and do an hour's research and present it to them, and they're going to want to use this. It's like, no, fuck off. If we want to do that, we'll do it ourselves correctly.
Well, you know what? We're talking about them, so we're talking about them, not naming them, but congratulations.
Betdicks.com.
Just briefly, this Embracer thing, this whole tour of your man from Embracer going about being like, I should take the blame. You know what it exactly is? It's that South Park episode with BP with the guy lying on the rug going, sorry. Oh, we're sorry. It's like, mate, you don't get a flying fuck what happened to all those thousands of people.
I should take the blame for what happened. But by the way, I'm going to own all three of these new companies. So I've gone from owning one company to owning three companies. Sorry. So
make it a good game. See, you know what would shut, I keep saying this, you know what would shut people up about Embracer? If they made a good game. They have yet to. If you count Dead Island 2 is pretty good, but I don't know if that was embraced or not.
The Middle Earth thing bothers me, that Tomb Raider is kind of relegated to friend status. That annoys me more than it probably should. Like I don't mind Tomb Raider games. I enjoyed the new ones, but it does feel like Tomb Raider's the game is a popular, powerful game brand, and with the greatest will in the world, there's only been a handful of good Lord of the Rings games. So it just feels to me like they're going for the more popular brand rather than actual video game brand to be their flagship for this AAA game company. And it's like, I would rather it was like Lara and Chums.
It's like, so Warner publishes everything from like the Harry Potter universe under like the Wizarding World tag. Yeah. It would be like The Wizarding World and Friends, and it's like Batman.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat.
Are you going to open the next Tomb Raider game with a big ring? Like, what? Silly.
Fucking Samus and Pals. Yeah. The Nintendo's getting rebranded to Samus and Pals.
That's how Andy considers Nintendo these days, to be fair. He only ever talks about Metroid Dread. He's never played another game in his life. It's alright, but it's not Metroid Dread. That's him. He's not here this week. I know. Podcast listeners, audio listeners, Andy isn't actually here this week. I'm sorry to break that to you.
I think Coffee Stain and Friends, like with the greatest respect, like Coffee Stain's like it's an odd name to give a kind of a company. Like I get it, it's fine as a developer's name, but for that to be the name that sums up the entirety of all your indie studios and AA studios. It feels weird. I don't know if Coffee Stain with the greatest will in the world is the biggest brand in the world that people will look at that and go, oh, Coffee Stain.
Fiverr on which one gets shut down first?
Well, Asmodee is safe because there's always a nerdy board game, because Asmodee, as far as I'm aware, just does board games and trading card games, so they'll thrive. I don't think the rest will get shut down. I think they'll shut down small parts of them, like they have been doing.
A year from now, Middle Earth and Friends will be divested into five separate companies of Tomb Raider and Friends, and Dead Island and Friends, and Kingdom Come and Friends.
Kingdom Come and Friends, I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, let's stop talking about these idiots. Let's talk about a real story. League of Legends player suspended for streaming, quote, inappropriate behavior with a stuffed bear. This is League of Legends pro player Lu Zhu, who's been suspended for two matches and fined $6,000 for his on-stream behavior. Chris, if you were reporting this on the 10 o'clock news, how would you describe what Mr. Zhu did to warrant this suspension?
I would describe it as enveloping his arms around it and then thrusting in an uncomfortable manner.
I would maybe like a fracas. Mind when Jeremy Clarkson punched that producer and everyone just described it as a fracas and stuff like this? I feel like there would be a slightly more euphemistic. He embraced it in a gentleman's fashion.
Embracer
gripped it in a gentleman. Lou, you, and Bear Friends. And Friends.
Special
basically,
friends.
This Donnie was on stream. He was trying to make people laugh and he started pumping a bear. Air pumping a stuffed bear. Slightly different.
That's the thing, because when you read it at first, you thought, did this guy actually put his wee man inside a bear's arse? And then when you actually watch the video, and it's like, he walked over to it clothed. It just kind of, it's a big, gigantic,
From Toy Story 3,
to be fair, is a baddie and deserves everything like, coming from him. But like, he embraced it. Like, it was almost as big as him. It's a large bear. Or he's a very small man. And like put his arms around it and then started like thrusting a few times. And his excuse was that the music in his headphones was rocking and he was just moving. He was so absorbed in the music that he couldn't help moving his body to a rhythmic beat. And the bear just happened to be in the way, which I don't buy for a second. But he was trying to be a smart arse and get caught. It's pretty mild behaviour for something like this, especially apparently one of the other things he did was claim that if I lose this next stream, then next time I play League of Legends on stage, I'm going to vape. And apparently that's against the rules, so he was going to get done for that. So it's like they've preemptively done him before he vapes. It's like, that's mild.
He essentially party boyed it. Now, for a younger, for listeners of a younger disposition,
with more clothes on.
Party Boy, also known as Chris Pontius, is an animal conservationist and occasional Jackass star. In the late 90s and early 2000s, there was an epidemic because during the early seasons of Jackass, one of the recurring skits that they would do, I presume so that they had some stuff they could film that wouldn't like break their ankles and like put them in the hospital, was he would run up to people and an American flag G-string and dance like this for the video, for the audio listeners, I'm demonstrating a half party boy. And then I don't know if this was the case where you were, Chris, but my entire school career, basically the genesis of Jackass, people would come up to you and party boy you, and it was hilarious, the funniest thing in the world. It's essentially just party boyed this bear.
I luckily missed that era. Like, I was,
you were
like,
party boying people in the future offices.
Oh, you better believe it. Right? I think in the grand scheme of things that can be done on stream, it's low on the list of infringements, but. Listen, them's the rules. You sign up to it. You want to make big bucks playing a video game for life, then you better make sure you stick to the rules being set, even if they're pretty pedantic, because, it's a good living he's getting, so he should probably toe the line. Spoken like a true Tory.
Spoken like a true party boy. When we come back, we'll chat a little bit about like Little Big Planet 3, and then we'll chat Top Spin and Tales of Kinzera, and some of your answers to our questions. We'll be back in a minute.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And we are back. Sad news. Sony has confirmed that Little Big Planet 3 has been shut down months after it was temporarily taken offline. Essentially, they ran into some problems with the game's servers, which house all of the levels, the user-generated content, and they had to take them down while they attempted to fix it. They have now come out and said, we're not going to be able to bring it back, and thus 10 years of Little Big Planet content is essentially gone. If you have downloaded the content previously, you can still play it. You can still play offline levels, but I think this is really sad, Chris.
It is sad. I mean, it's... It's more sad that nobody got a warning. Nobody was given a warning. And it's always shit when these things get taken down, but at least like, you get it financially. Not that Sony is like scraping for pennies just now. Like, you could have thought they'd maybe keep that server going. But at least when things tend to shut down, they tend to tell people, look, by the way, on this date, like Microsoft just did it with the game capture thing. It's coming up starting sometime in May. Any captures you save with a game DVR thing on an Xbox and upload to the cloud get deleted after 90 days. So they're informing you now, anything you've got on there that's 90 days old, back it up to OneDrive or whatever before the end of May, otherwise it's going forever. But everyone's been sent a message telling them that. This was a situation where they temporarily took Little Big Planet 3 offline for some sort of issue. And people went, okay, fine. And then they just went, actually, we're just going to keep it off. And everyone who had like stuff saved was like, wait a minute, what? You're not giving me a chance to download like my favourite levels that I wanted to maybe keep a hold of anymore? It's like, nope, gone.
Yeah.
So that's a bit shit, I think.
It's weird because Little Big Planet was like, Sackboy specifically was a big mascot for the PS3. Like, Sackboy Stephen Fry is the PS3 for me. Like
that's his wrestling persona, is Sackboy Stephen Fry.
I feel like also Little Big Planet is pure emblematic of when Sony had a big UK base. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like very British Sony because it's so unionist. But the whole thing of like Sackboy was the because it was such a basic character. All the other franchises got like a Sackboy skin, like it felt very unifying, but Sackboy seems to be like totally forgotten in the PS5 era.
And do you know, I think Little Big Planet 3 was the start of that as well, because with apologies to the Finger Guns podcast, because I made a similar quip on that earlier last week. Little Big Planet 3, I lost interest in it when they added extra characters who I believe were called Backboy and Crackboy. At that point, I was like, you've lost this, like, because one of them was like tall and one of them was like a wee stupid thing. And then for the last one, I quite enjoyed Sackboy's Adventures, was it called?
It's a decent platformer. The problem with that was it came alongside Astro, which is like a game of the generation.
A better platformer was free with the console. It was like, nah. That's a fun wee game, but at that point, all the kind of branding stuff was gone. So I think if Sackboy Adventures was still getting supported, and every time a Death Stranding comes out, he gets a Death Stranding outfit or something. For all I know, they did that. But like the
fact that you don't know about it.
The fact
that
I don't know is exactly telling. Like you'd still remember when Little Big Planet came out and had the Metal Gear Solid skins and the Street Fighter skins and all that kind of stuff.
I bought so many of those because I loved Little Big Planet 2 on the PS3. I thought that game was absolutely magic.
But the problem is it's been overtaken now by stuff like Dreams
Roblox.
Even stuff like Super Mario Maker and the platformer scheme of things, which is a more user-friendly interface. If you've got a kid who wants to make levels, you'll give them Mario Maker instead. If you've got someone who wants to make more kind of unique experiences, they'll go to Dreams instead. If you want somebody who wants to make a 3D platformer, they'll go to Roblox instead. Little Big Planet was great for kind of making game creation easier for people, but it's since been kind of overtaken by stuff that has gone one further in different directions. So in that sense, it kind of it feels like people don't bother with it that much. You never get stories saying, look at this great thing someone created in Little Big Planet 3. It's like nobody really does it anymore. So in that sense,
it was a progenitor to all that stuff. Like the first time you saw somebody make a calculator on Little Big Planet, it was like mind blowing. Yeah. Like people making Doom in Little Big Planet, but it's like it's kind of just left behind. Which this always happens. Like things that are like very few franchises remain iconic throughout multiple generations. Like I was thinking about it the other day. Nathan Drake, like think how big a character Nathan Drake was in the PS3 and PS4 Sony lineup.
Just a wee drip.
You just don't hear about him anymore because Uncharted isn't the thing.
Remember like, the days when Parappa the Rapper was an A-tier superstar?
Kick punch is all in the mind, and now he's a meme. Now he's a meme that the PlayStation Twitter account puts out, and people go, haha, I remember that man.
Scum. It's- like, it deserves so much more, does my boy Parappa.
Here's the thing though, like, I understand why they do it, because if you think about on the Xbox side, they are still trying to hang out the back of Master Chief in Gears of War and stuff like that, and it's very difficult to hang out the back of Master Chief. He's tall,
and it's all armor. There's no crevices to wedge into.
Well, there's an exhaust valve, but they haven't created new stars. They've not created. They're very much the WCW where they've not created the new stars, whereas the WWF are making your Ellies and your Kratos is. Kratos isn't a new star, but this version of Kratos very much.
There's only so
like
many times you can go back to Arne Anderson. It's like, but again, like at least Master Chief's getting new games. Like, fair enough, they're questionable. Although from what I gather, like Halo Infinite's getting good now, but it's like too late. I would kill a man for a new Parappa the Rapper game. depend who it was, but like, I'd have a think about it. Like I would love a new Parappa the Rapper, even an Umjam or Lamy. I would gladly take one of them off you.
They should put a Parappa the Rapper mode in Fortnite, the same way
exactly
they put like, the music stage and stuff like
put
that.
Put in Fortnite Festival. Parappa make him rap all the shite music that they put on it. All
who
these kids, teeny bopper
eyelash.
Music.
I know. I want Parappa and the Onion Guy.
What was I made for? You were made for getting out of the way so Parappa can step in, take over. Sad days.
Well, I've been waiting for this moment for a long time. Some people wait a lifetime for a moment like this, as Leona Lewis once sang. Chris, you have reviewed, completed, mastered Popspin 2K25. How is it?
It is good. It is a good tennis
Thanks,
game.
Thanks, Chris. Right, we'll see you next week. To avoid any further abuse.
Do you know what the best thing is about it? Standing a few inches ahead of the baseline.
And playing it like it's fucking table tennis.
Swinging for the fences every time the ball comes near you. It's a very good tennis game. Like the gameplay, the mechanics are very strong. A lot of tennis games have been terrible over the years, especially doing my books, my kind of retro books. The amount, every time I get a tennis game, I go, oh, a tennis game. And it's 9 times out of 10 garbage. Even back then, they just couldn't get it. And you would think it would be something quite simple that you just press a button for the kind of stroke you want and then press the direction you want it to go in and that should be the end of it. But so many tennis games throw in all these kind of modifiers and stuff to make it not that simple. Oh, what if you're standing in a weird position? Then you shouldn't be able to. Topspin like kind of nails it in that it gives you 4, 5, 6 different types of shot. Your top spin TM shot and like a flat shot and a lob and a drop shot and all that. But then you've got 3 different powers of those. You tap the button, it's like a control shot and it's the most accurate. If you hold it down for ages, it becomes a power shot. And if you hold it kind of for a wee while, it goes in the middle. And then on top of that, it adds a gauge, like an accuracy gauge, like an NBA 2K. But,
oh, yeah,
but,
okay.
But with a bit more kind of freedom, thankfully, because that's really the timing and that's obscene.
Yeah, if you don't get green in 2K, you are missing
exactly.
the shot.
But this is a lot more kind of forgiving. And that fills up at different speeds depending on how awkward the shot is. So if you're standing behind the baseline, which we've already agreed I never do, the bar fills quite slowly, so you can quite easily get accurate hits. But the closer you get, like if you're right up against the net and you go really fast, the bar zips like really quickly, so you have to stop it perfectly to get a good shot. It works really well. It's like it's the best tennis kind of mechanics I've played in a game. The players look awful, some of them. Like Andy Murray looks comical.
Poor Andy.
I played a game on TV and my wife was sitting on the couch and she was just staring at it. I was like, what is it? And she was just staring at that. Is that Andy Murray? I'm like, yep. She draws the line real life, sure. It's like it's the hair, and it's like I hate when people say that looks like a PS2 game, because like usually it doesn't, because it's like for starters it's in 4K, so no, it isn't. but this looks like the hair looks like just one big mold that's been put on his head. It looks like a couple of generations old, like a PS3 era hair. It doesn't move in any way. It's just like a big kind of weird, almost purpley clump on his head. They look a bit off. The NPCs look comical. It's like when the NBA 2K series went up a generation, and everyone else in the crowd and courtside stayed the old generation. So you had these super realistic, like Michael Jordan, like taking the ball off a referee with like a potato face, and it's like that. But it's got it where it matters, which is like gameplay. Even the season pass stuff isn't that egregious. It's going to have like 6 seasons of content, but 2K is doing what Lego 2K Drive did, in that the seasons don't end after a set time. You can keep the season going. So when season two comes on and you're halfway through season one, you can go leave it and keep working on season one. And when that's finished, if season three's out, you can do season three first and come back to two later when it's done. So essentially, the seasons are added, but they never expire. And obviously, you've still got a premium equivalent. But all good.
That's a good trend. Speaking of Halo Infinite, I believe they did that too. I like that you can just go back and like. So, I opened up Pokemon Masters EX on my phone last night, which is a mobile game that they always talk about during Pokemon Presents. I presume it makes them a lot of money. But I opened it and it was just like, here's all this stuff that you've missed, but we still have to tell you about, because it's like we've not cleared the queue. So I think about that a lot. It's like, I just want to start me on the road to doing something. A better example, so Team of the Season for EAFC has begun. I opened it last night to just see where I'm at. I've got some packs and stuff like that. And there's so much going on in terms of SBCs and challenges and stuff to prepare you for Team of the Season and like all this other stuff, that it's just impossible to get your legs under you. I'm like, that is a game in which I would consider myself an expert, and it still took me a while to be like, should I be doing these SBCs or should I just be playing champs?
I lapsed for a couple of weeks of FIFA. Like when WWE came out, I said, okay, I'm going to go cold turkey. I can't juggle all these live service games, so I'll stop WWE for a while. And when WWE, my faction started getting bullshit, which it eventually tends to do, it has these kind of live challenges every now and then where it's like, okay, for this challenge lasts 6 days and you have to use this wrestler to win it. And suddenly it's wrestlers that are only in loot boxes, and loot boxes cost an obscene amount of money. So at that point, I was like, I'm done. Finished the kind of the proven grounds mode, and I'm done with WWE now. Went back to FIFA and came in halfway through a season. And it's like, at that point, if you join a season in FIFA like a couple of weeks into it, it's physically impossible to reach the end of that season's tiers. So it's like 8 pages worth of content that you can get to by playing through the game. And even by ticking off every single possible challenge I was given, I only did like 6 of those 8 pages. And I'm sitting there going, what's the point?
You need to either be week one, or you need to do incredibly well in squad battles and rivals and champs, because you get XP from that. But it's just like
it's so much of a It takes up so much time and requires so much of a time commitment. And in a world where there are more games than ever, live service can't last because people will pick what two or three games at most, which I do. I've got FIFA, I've got Disney Speedstorm. The dream team. If another one comes out that I like, I wouldn't have to drop one of them. Although it looks like Disney Speedstorm might be on the way out anyway, if it goes by the fan base. God rest it in advance. But it's when a new game comes out, sometimes it'll take me or other people a while to discover it. Don't punish them for learning about your game later than day one. Don't reward everyone who bought it day one, and then when someone rocks up 2 months later and says, everyone's talking about this game, is it good? And it's good. We've been having fun for 2 weeks, for 2 months, fuck off. Can I get all the special rewards from the first 2 months? No, you weren't here, mate.
Especially with something like FIFA, which the power curve is always going up. So, the thing that annoys me is those season, I can't remember what they're called, seasons, yeah, they're called seasons.
Yeah.
Have players in them that are exclusive to the seasons and you can't get them. So it was maybe last year or year before, one of the seasons there was a Celtic player at level 30 and I had to drop everything to grind out to get that. And it's I want your thing. Don't make it a pain in the fucking arse to get it. Yeah.
It's just
not that we've given 2K a bit of a kicking, but at least the last time I played NBA regularly, when a new season would drop, they would give you enough challenges on day one to complete it, but they were mega hard or took a million years, but they would only add to that. So you could end up with way, way, way over the amount of XP you would need. Yeah. Or if you're a psychopath, you could get it all in one day. So.
Yeah. I don't know. It feels like a sort of thing that over time there's going to become a breaking point and people are going to start saying enough's enough. I think when more, not that I like seeing this, because obviously you're getting a lot of games kind of shutting down now and a lot of layoffs and the like. I think a lot of companies are realizing whatever models we're using here aren't working. And I get a feeling that a lot of live service games are going, these live services aren't paying off in the long run because we're continuing to employ staff to keep these live services going and people aren't connected with them. Stuff like, who seriously was playing through Doom Eternal's live service content? stuff like that doesn't need it. You don't need to put it in just for the sake of having it in. It needs to stop, basically. It's infuriating. And not every game needs a live service. Stop.
Not every game needs a live service. We asked the VGC Maniacs on Twitter just before we go, based on the top spin discussion, which isn't actually relevant to me because I do like playing tennis, but I feel like there's a long legacy of playing a sports game, really liking a sports game, but having absolutely no interest in following the sport, playing the sport, etc., and so on. So we asked for people's favourites. We got some great answers. First of all, Mike Minotti, friend of the show. I'll see you in June, you beautiful boy. This will appeal to you, Chris. Neo Turf Masters for the Neo Geo is still the best looking golf game. What do you think of that?
I missed that. I got a wee skip there and didn't hear actually what game it was. What was it?
Neo Turf Masters.
Neo Geo. Yes, that's a fantastic golf game. Mike has a very good taste in Neo Geo.
I knew this would please you.
I love a bit of Neo.
Anything
Turf
with
Masters.
Neo Geo.
Anything with Neo in the title. I'm above. I'm on for it. Neo Turf Masters is excellent. One of my favorite golf game ever was, purely just because of the tonal difference, was that one of the Tiger Woods games on PS2 started with that song that goes, "Y'all gonna make me lose my mind up in here, up in here." That one,
I think it was 2004, and that is also my favorite golf game of all time because it's the best.
It's a great golf game anyway. But I remember buying the first PGA 96 on the PS1, and it was very traditional. Wee piano music, do 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 do. Welcome to PGA, and video clips of Davis Love the Third and Fuzzy Zoller and all your golf pros from yesteryear, and it was very kind of, your 50-year-old dad would buy this, and yeah. I can just imagine 15-16-year-old dads buying the next Tiger Woods game and getting hit with, yeah, I'll go, mate, and like a guy like in a kilt, like slapping an invisible arse in the intro sequence. Yeah. Oh, that's incredible. So that's my favourite golf game.
I think that's the one that had. There's a Tiger Woods game that had a mode where you went into like essentially like a big empty hangar, and targets would go across, and mm-hmm. you would just drive at these targets. I played the ever-loving shit out of that mode. Those Tiger Woods, the best thing 2K ever did for the PGA franchise was when they got Tiger back. That was when I was like, I don't care what he's done. Golf games should star Tiger Woods. That is the rules. Like, my dad still plays that game. We need a new PGA golf game, please. He's put about 7,000 hours into that last one.
Yeah.
That's a great one. At Pillow Fort, Windjammers. He's never windjammed in his life. Mm. I don't know if one can actually windjam. Windjammers is a great game. I didn't really like Windjammers 2, but that first one is a bang.
I didn't mess with the sequel, but yeah, the first one's a fantastic sport. That again, yeah, I've never windjammed.
Never win jammed.
No, I'm not jammed.
A lot of shouts. A lot of shouts for NBA Street and NBA Playground. I agree. That was prior to me ever playing basketball. But PS2 sports. I think the PS2 best generation for sports games. I think it's pretty hard to argue in terms of the serious sports games were good, mm-hmm. but the like fun sports games you got alongside it, like your FIFA Streets, God, yeah. I'd kill for a new FIFA. Volta isn't the same.
No, it's not. It doesn't have the same vibes. Awful commentary. It was a DJ. It was a Spoonie or someone like that. It was in the
FIFA Street.
Play to the beat. FIFA Street. that doesn't exist anymore. It's EA Sports big brand needs to return. SSX tricky. The GameCube version of NBA Street V3, which had Mario and Princess Peach in it, like playing it against like the best of NBA's talent. That was the glory days. That was the same era as Def Jam Vendetta and Def Jam Fight for New York as well, which people forget are the last of the WWF No Mercy Engine games.
Mm.
But yeah, the glory days.
I'm trying to find the name of the guy who did the commentary for FIFA Street.
Was it not Spoonie? It was someone of that.
I'm not sure. It's much like how in Burnout Paradise you had DJ Atomica that really set the tone.
MC Harvey of the So Solid crew it was, apparently.
Was it?
Apparently.
Of the So Solid crew?
FIFA Street 2005 is commented by MC Harvey of the So Solid crew.
Oh, yeah. FIFA Street, tremendous games. I hated when they, was it FIFA Street 3? They made it like cartoon art style. That's not what I wanted at all. I liked it when it was the models from the main FIFA game, but like in street clothes. Aye. That was way better.
Aye.
And then they made a FIFA Street in the 360 generation. I think it was like 2012 that had Messi on the cover of it, and it was pissing balls.
There was one that had, I don't remember which FIFA Street it was, but there had loads of countries in it. It was representing countries, and each country had like star players in it. And it was like, they properly made an effort to recreate players, even for like Scotland. I'm pretty sure Barry Ferguson or someone had like a reasonable likeness. I'm like, that's too far. Like, he doesn't need to.
First of all, Barry Ferguson was never a star. But second of all,
certainly wasn't. The disrespect he showed the TV cameras that during that game when he flicked the fingers, it should have been hounded out the sport.
Yeah, be hounded out the country. The FIFA Street, I think the original one had a really good mode where you basically toured around all these different arenas, and when you beat a team, you could get a player off that team. So I always remember the first guy you would get would be Paddy Kenny in goals. And oh yes, Paddy Kenny. I think about him all the time. But yeah, the second one had Cristiano Ronaldo on the cover. So that's all you need to say about that.
The glory days.
Let me see other answers. MLB The Show, says Mike Zert. I agree. I barely understand how baseball is scored, but I enjoy playing the show.
It's a weird one for me because I do follow quite a few sports. I don't follow in as like fervently as I follow Scottish football or indeed the old world wrestling entertainment, but if you can call that a sport, I suppose we're not getting into that. But because I've got family from America and like they've been in America all my life, I've always followed the Cleveland teams. So I'm a Browns fan.
We can't call them the Indians anymore,
but the Cleveland Guardians in baseball. I don't support the Cleveland Cavaliers in basketball because when I get married, also my wife's from Canada, so we're very much a Raptors household, and now a Blue Jays household as well, and a Toronto FC household. But yeah, so I follow all the kind of American sports and enjoy them very much. So I'll play a lot of the kind of different sports games and still like the sports. I suppose golf is the one that I like the game more than I like the sport. But yeah, I would never sit and watch golf on the telly.
Yeah, I'm kind of in your situation where the only sport I would sit down and watch. I don't like watching cricket because I just think it's heavy boring. And similarly, I've never enjoyed a cricket game. American football and that basketball, maybe ice hockey. I've enjoyed a few ice hockey games, but couldn't. Apologies to Alyssa Mercanti, who's a big New York Rangers fan. And every time she posts about them saying, oh, really looking forward to the Rangers game, I'm like, what are you saying, Alyssa? And then I remember.
Yeah. So, I like ice hockey, but ice hockey's better live because you can actually see the puck, which I found helps a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we need a return to fun sports games. I would love that. I would love a real move back to like an NBA. Every time they bring back fun sports games, what was that game called? It's like NBA Streets, the All-Stars or something. It's 2v2, something like that. There's like a street basketball game that had the NBA license. It was
there was when Midway ran about when NBA Jam kind of was getting popular in the first place. They spun it out eventually, so you got NFL Blitz and NHL Blitz, Hits, yeah. And those were excellent. Those are fantastic games. Stuff like that we need, but you can't live service an NFL Blitz, can you?
Mate, you could live service the ever-loving shite out of FIFA Street if you wanted to. Like it has its own like built-in system of like, well, if you're playing online and you've got teams like that, you could do NBA Street Ultimate Team with no issue whatsoever. Like, it translates. You could sell. Having all that Volta stuff in the main game is a complete wasted opportunity. Like, not to, like, be like, oh, you can make so much money, please do it. Like, clapping, like, happy clapping seal. But it's possible. Just get me a new FIFA Street. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, well.
Have we done enough complaining this week?
I think so.
We offer soapbox.
We're good.
Yeah, you got a functional car yet, or what?
I've still got. I've heard nothing from the fun folks at Quick Fit. So yeah, no, nothing yet. No car. Car's gone. Wrestling tickets are gone. Dreams are gone.
Yeah. Any juice? Anything to make you happy?
No juice. I forgot to get a drink before this started, and I was like, I've got novelty Super Mario Brothers pajamas on. I'm like, I'm not getting up. To get like a drink, so like top half's business, bottom half's party.
As always,
you know exactly. Yeah, I've got off camera. There's a big giant Lotso bear sitting in the corner, waiting for the hammer in their lifetime.
Oh well, you know one thing about us: we're always hammering the bears. Until next week, you can send your questions, comments, and concerns to podcast@videogameschronicle.com. Keep Chris in your thoughts. You can follow us on Twitter. @JordanMidler, @Scully1888. Thanks to Grant Kirkhope for the VGC podcast.
VGC, a video games podcast, is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.